just reading this morning statement from the book of Galatians. I'll be reading verse number 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a good new year that God has blessed us with, and I don't know a better way to start it than being with brothers and sisters in Christ. Certainly a blessing that God has granted us at least another day of this year. We never know when He's going to come back, but He has granted us with another year, and certainly we're blessed with that. I'm going to forget certainly some announcements this morning, but I'm going to be as good as I can. We have started putting out a calendar. Now, this calendar is based off of kind of old records and feedback, so if you ever see any mistakes or anything that needs to be added to the calendar, please let us know, because really we're going to have 12 trial runs this year. You know, the January calendar is going to be a trial run, the February is going to be a trial run. We'll try to make sure we get everything as accurate as we can, but if you see anything that's missing, please let us know. And if you know something that's coming up in the future, please let us know in terms of birthdays, anniversaries, those types of things, because we certainly don't want to make any mistakes. But what I have found in my life is that perfection equals paralysis. We can either have a calendar out there that's imperfect, or we can have a perfect calendar that never gets out there. So we're starting from ground zero. We're working our way in the right direction. So certainly if you have any updates, please let us know. Also on the calendar, when you pick one up at the top, there's a goal. And I've discussed some of these with the elders, and what we've tried to do is make little goals for each month that we think is really achievable for every member. And the little goal at the top of this month is drop off tracts in the community. Our board back there, I try to update it with the tracts that I receive from Heart to Heart and tracts that we receive from the Brotherhood as a whole. And what happens is eventually that board gets full. And I have to pull things off and I have to add things on, and I've got a bucket of old tracts. And I'd rather not pick them. You know what I mean? And I'd rather put them out in the community. So your goal is to pick up one of those tracts. We'll try to have that bucket out there. Just pick up one or two, and when you go to the dentist's office, just set it right there. You know, I think that we have a heart-to-heart presence. A lot of individuals get heart-to-heart in our community. We have a very wide range. And a lot of those pamphlets have Heart to Heart on the back, which would kind of lead them back to us. So certainly, take that little goal. I think it's small. I think it's manageable. And I think that it's something that we can all do to try to better ourselves in terms of that respect. Also, I like to think I have control over all things, but I don't. I will not be able to do the Tuesday class this week. So it's canceled unless I can find a sub today, but I don't want to put too much pressure on people, because I don't like to put pressure on people last notice. So Tuesday class is canceled unless you hear from me that I've got a substitute. But I don't want to put any pressure on any individual to fill in there. But sometimes those things happen. So I think those are the announcements I have. Surely I forgot something, but we'll do the best we can as we move forward. You know, another year is upon us, and I think new years are exciting in many ways, because we look at ourselves and we reflect. And we start to think on, you know, how did the past year go? How is this year that we're going into going to go? And I always reflect on myself. I have goals in all areas of my life. I write those down. I think that's good for someone to do. I think something that the physical world does many times is we make so many physical goals, but we forget about spiritual goals. And I have spiritual goals. Sometimes I share those with my wife when appropriate. Some of them I just keep between me and God. And in terms of things that I have set out that I really want to be better at, or things that I want to achieve. And I try to tie things to numbers, because I heard an old businessman say one time, what gets measured gets accomplished. So I kind of apply that to my goals, because all my goals, I try to make them measurable in some way. If I'm going to try to do this goal, if I'm going to try to make phone calls or something like that, sure, I'll put a number on it. This is how many I'm going to try to do. That way I can see whether I'm meeting that goal or not. Because when we make vague goals, a lot of times what happens is just kind of gets lost in the wind. But you know, a new life, a new year, you think about that transition, and I just want us to be reminded this morning that we are called to a new life. And I believe this new life that God calls us to is in pursuit of our potential. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, the Bible says this. It says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct of the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, we think of Romans chapter 6, where it talks about baptism, and that old man goes to die, and we're raised in newness of life. And certainly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 talks about that idea as well, this idea of a new life. When we become Christians, we have a new life. We're supposed to leave the old man behind, and we're supposed to have this new man. And what are we supposed to be pursuing? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24, it gives us this idea of righteousness and holiness. Is that we did not become Christians so that we could just stay the same as our old man. We did not just become Christians that we can just continue to do those things that we used to do. Is we are on a journey to better ourselves. A journey of pursuing our potential. And really, when we look at the Bible and what the Bible says that we're following, we realize we are on a quest that never ends. The journey, the pursuit of your potential is a journey that never ends. I want to be the best 20-year-old. Of course, that's in the past now. But I wanted to be the best 20-year-old I could be for the Lord when I was 20 years old. When I age, I want to be the best 30-year-old, 35, 40, 70-year-old. I want to be the best I can be in whatever phase of life I find myself in. Because I'm looking to Jesus, and Jesus sets a perfect example. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Are you going to try to follow Jesus' steps this year? Are you going to try to follow Jesus and try to be better in different areas of your life? And that's what I think about when a new year comes about. And I think we should think about it throughout the year. But I think it's on so many people's minds is, I want to do better. What can I do better? And what we start to realize is that when we realize that we're following Jesus, when we're following the steps of Jesus, that our journey never ends. I want to get as close to Jesus as I can. I want to get as close to following steps as I can. I know that I'm imperfect. I know I'm going to fall short. But each year I should be better. Are you saying that when you became a Christian, you're the same now as you were right when you were baptized? The Bible gives us this idea that we should grow, that we should mature, that we should be growing in our faith. And I think that when we think about that in terms of Christianity, I want to be better in every aspect of my life. I want to be better in every aspect of service to God. I am pursuing Jesus. And I will follow His example, and I want to get as close as I can to God's true righteousness. I want to get as close as I can to holiness. I want to do my best. What I want to think about this morning is three areas that I think we can all be better. And see, that's the hard thing about Christianity. You realize it never ends. Because what is the point that we can get to in our lives and say, well, I'm the best that I am, and I can't get any better. When you realize you're trying to pursue Jesus, that we always have room for improvement. There's always that question that we should be asking ourselves is, how can I do better? And what I want to look at is three areas that I want you to consider going into the new year that perhaps you can even make goals based off of. You could think of these three areas, spiritual areas, and say, I want to do better in these areas. Let me think of some things that I could do so I could be better, so I could be more Christ-like. And certainly that's a goal. I know a lot of people say, what would Jesus do? But it just ends there. What would Jesus do? Well, if you know the answer to that question, perhaps that's the next step forward in your development. We'll never catch Jesus, but I want to get as close as I can to following His steps. Number one, I want to think about evangelism. I think evangelism is certainly an area that every Christian should consider. We think of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus has the call to send us out, to evangelize and try to spread the good news, the gospel, to the world. And certainly that was Jesus' goal. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You understand that God has an expectation for Christians to be evangelistic. That we try to go out into the world, and through our example, through our words and our deeds, we try to lead people to Christ. Can you be more evangelistic this year? You know what? We've got some things coming down the road. We've got a marriage workshop that's been worked on behind the scenes with many members here at Sandyville, with the elders included. That's very exciting. We've also got an evangelistic class that's being worked on by multiple members that we want to be better. We want to have better marriages. We want to have be better at evangelizing. Can we be better? I think we can. And I think the Lord wants us to pursue our potential. And when I think about being evangelistic, I think it's an expectation. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, there we have the writer, really, I think, giving some strong words to those individuals that are being written to. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solitude. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For solitude belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." There's an expectation there. You guys should be teachers. You guys should be teachers. And if we have become Christians ourselves, I don't think it goes that far that we as individuals should be able to teach someone the gospel plan of salvation. Now, can we be better? Yes, I think we can be better. Are there strategies? Yes, I think there's strategies. I think there's many strategies we can learn from Jesus. And I've been studying a lot of those recently, but Jesus was a master of questions. You read the New Testament, see how many questions Jesus used in his evangelism. He used questions to get people's interest. He used questions to get people's attention. He used questions to draw people in. When's the last time you asked somebody a question? Evangelistically, asking a question. And that's what Jesus did. And as that class approaches, I prepared some lessons in relation to evangelism, just looking at Jesus. How did Jesus handle evangelism? He asked a whole lot of questions. He used everyday things to draw individuals in. Can we be better evangelistically? Certainly, there in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, there's an idea there of an expectation that we become teachers. We will be stronger as the congregation here at Sandyville as we grow and mature together. In fact, that's the only way the congregation at Sandyville will grow, is if we grow and we learn together. We grow and learn together. As we improve, the congregation at Sandyville will improve. But we have to look at ourselves and say, how can I be better evangelistically? I can tell you this, I don't touch the same people that you touch. In fact, that's going to be one of our activities in class. We're going to write down some names. We'll write down some names. And you know what? I almost guarantee you that your list will not match my list. I was talking to my wife about it in preparation. I'm prepared. We're not going to do this till April. I'm already preparing. I'm studying. I'm doing as much as I can. I was talking to my wife. She said, "Well, who are you going to put down on your list?" She was curious. She wanted to know. And you know what? I don't think our list will match. Even as husband and wife, we don't always touch exactly the same people. Now, we touch a lot of the same people. There's no doubt about that. But my wife's ripple is not my ripple. And her ripple is not my, and you all have a ripple of your own. Can you be better at evangelism this year? Can you start focusing, looking at opportunities? In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, it says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" I can tell you this, God has sent out that call. He has sent us out to the world to preach the gospel. He has sent us all out. As individual Christians, we are all evangelistic in our ways and our conduct. We're supposed to go out to the world. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says we should have an answer for those that have questions. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense or give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Can I be better this year at pursuing the law? Can I be better this year at answering questions that are given to me by those that are around me, by co-workers and those that I come into contact with? Sometimes I think we break some of the most basic laws. Some of the basic laws that the Bible lays down, I think sometimes we just are in violation of them. I know that it doesn't exactly apply, but in James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, perhaps you don't have because you don't ask. And I think that's kind of a basic idea. You don't have because you don't ask. You know, sometimes that's in our lives. There's a lot of people that are willing to help you, but if you never ask for help, they're probably not going to extend that. You know, I mean, it's a principle of life, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't look for opportunities to help, but a lot of people will say, you know what, I want somebody to help me, but I'm not going to ask for help. That puts us in a little of a hard spot. It's not that you're not going to get help, but you might not get it as quickly as you need it. But breaking a basic principle. Do we have open invitations to those that are in our lives? Do people in our lives have an open invitation to Sandy, though? And let me tell you a little secret, it's a new year. I think we can at least revisit people year by year. I mean, the Bible talks about not casting our pearls before swine, but I think we at least have a license to visit people year by year and say, hey, I know I talked to you last year, but you know that you're welcome at Sandyville anytime. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to study with you. If you have any questions, please let me know. If I don't have an answer, I'll go to the Bible to get it, and certainly I've got individuals that I can reach out to and get help as well. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. We expect doors to be opened, but we don't knock. We expect to find people, but we're not seeking. We're breaking some natural laws. The natural laws of sowing and reaping. If we don't sow, it's for certain you're not going to reap. And of course, as our job as Christians, our job is just to sow. That's our job, it's just to sow. But if we're not sowing at all, then certainly there's not going to be any reaping. We're breaking natural laws. Let's not break natural laws this year. Let's sow. Let's ask. Let's knock. Let's try to go to the world as best we can. We're not perfect individuals, not by a long shot, but we can certainly do better in pursuing what God wants us to pursue. When's the last time you made an invitation? Invitation for somebody to join us here at Sandyville. The Bible says the laborers are few. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37-38. Last time I checked, the population of just Jackson County is 27,000. That's the last time I checked. That could be wrong. I just pulled it off the internet. Can't believe everything you find on the internet. 27,000. Jackson County. And you know what? Things are a very unique congregation because we have individuals that come from all bordering counties. So think about our reach. Think about the people that we can touch. Your ripple is very special. Can you go better this year? Go and preach the gospel, to spread the gospel. Can you be better this year at answering questions? Can we be better? I think we can. Well, there's many things we can do. You can invite somebody with a card. You can invite somebody with a card and say, hey, this is so-and-so. I'd love to see you at service. You can invite somebody with a card. No, nothing's holding you back from that. Nothing's holding you back from doing a verbal invite. No one's holding you back from trying to get somebody's interest. Hey, have you ever thought about this? Or have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about this? There's so many questions that we could ask. Would you be interested in a Bible study? I'd love to study with you. Are we about God's mission, seeking and saving those that are lost? How can I be better this year at evangelism? We say, Kyle, that's your job. Well, yeah, it is my job. I got my goals. They're written down. And you know what? They're going to be revisited every month. Every month I check on that list and I just see how I'm going. How am I going on some of these physical goals? But you know what? I better be checking up on my spiritual goals. Have you written down some spiritual goals this year? Spiritual goals for evangelism. How many invitations are you going to try to extend? We say as many as possible. Put a number on it. Because I think if you put a number on it, you'll be more likely to hit that goal. Because if you just say, oh, I'm just going to try to invite people this year, I think it'll just kind of float out of your memory. If you say, I'm going to try to invite 12 people this year, one person a month, that might be 12 more people than you invited last year, possibly. Maybe it's 10 more people than you invited last year. I don't know. Can we be better? I think we can. I think we can for the Lord. And it's so encouraging when you think about the possibilities. the possibilities of what can be accomplished when the Lord's body comes together and says, I'm going to try to be the best version I can be. I might not be the same as you, but I will do the best I can in the situation which I find myself. That's so encouraging. I'm not saying everybody has to be Kyle. I'm just saying be you and be the best version of you you can be. That's what the Lord wants. Certainly, I think about evangelism. How can you be better at evangelism this year? Number two, how can you be better at edification? Edification has different definitions. One definition is the improvement of a person morally or intellectually through teaching. So edification, through teaching, we develop morally and intellectually. Another definition that you might find for edification is building up or to strengthen. We can strengthen individuals by teaching. We can strengthen individuals by building them up. And when we try to edify, we're trying to make individuals stronger morally and intellectually. We're trying to build up, to strengthen. And certainly that happens a lot through teaching. And I think there's some very good teaching that happens here at Sandyville. We have various classes. We have the Bible classes for our various ages, for our young people. Very encouraging. A lot of good edification. But I think edification does go a little bit deeper than teaching. Because I think it's anything that we can do to really build up. And I think a lot of it does happen through teaching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, therefore comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. You know, edification, encouraging, trying to teach, trying to build each other up morally, that is an obligation of us individually. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, edify one another. Edify one another. I have an obligation to you, you have an obligation to me. To build up, to strengthen each other. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify one another. Once again, we find this idea that edification, like evangelism, we have individual, I believe, responsibility. When it comes to edification, trying to build up, trying to teach, trying to help support each other, I think it's individual. We have an individual obligation to each other, and collectively, we can accomplish great things. Well, how can I help build people up? Well, certainly you could teach Bible class. That's one thing in particular. But I think that we think about the assembly and the fellowship of ourselves. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Wait, Acts chapter 2. They're baptized for the remission of sins. They become Christians. What are they doing? Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. You know, when we're together, we can build each other up. It's hard to build each other up from a long ways away. It's hard to build each other up from long ways away. And I think that's why God wants us to be together, because He knows we can build each other up. We can help each other on this plane of life to be better examples, to be better followers of Christ, that we can support each other, that we can be there for one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Wait, let me think about somebody else. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The assembly of the saints is important, because we can build each other up, we can encourage one another, we can help each other stay on that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. Can we be better at exhorting this year? Can we be better at edification this year? Building each other up. You know, singing is one of those things as well. When we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we're supposed to be singing to each other. Why are we singing to each other? Because when we sing to each other, we can teach each other. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is a way that we can edify, that we can exhort one another, that we can build each other up. It's hard to sing when you're all the way away. We have an obligation to one another, to support each other, to build each other up, to help each other, to exhort. something to think about. And I think to build, we have to have the right attitude. And I think the Bible tries to point us this direction. If you want to build up, if you want to build something up and you don't want to tear something down, you better have a good attitude. And I think Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tries to lead us there. You go over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we're going to build up each other, if we're going to teach each other, if we're going to try to get each other all on that straight and narrow path and keep us going in the right direction, we better have the right attitude. And that's what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 is talking about, is we better focus on good things. This world is dark. It's full of all kinds of discouragement. We've got disaster. We've got disease. We've got discouragement. We've got all these things going on in the world. God wants us to look at good things and build each other up. God does not want to have a complaining people. In fact, when we think about it, complaining tears more things down than anything else. I'm not saying we can't be realistic. I'm not saying you can't acknowledge the problem that is sitting right in front of us. That's not what I'm saying. But a positive outlook on life, focusing on those things that are true, those things that are noble, those things that are just, it keeps us on a good path. See how many times complaining derailed the Israelites. Moses shows up to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And what do? They're complaining. Moses is going to free them, and they're complaining. You know what? Moses frees them with the help of God, obviously, with the 10 plagues, Moses and Aaron. They lead the Israelites out. They complain all the way to Mount Sinai. They receive the 10 commandments, and you know what? They complain all the way to the edge of the promised land. And you know what? They complain again. And then they wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and everyone over 20 dies. Complaining was a problem of the Israelites. It can be a problem with God's people. God wants you to focus on good things. I'm not saying we can't be realistic. If there's a problem, we need to address it. But there's another thing about nagging on that problem. It's like we already solved that problem, but you still want to talk about it. We're working on that, but you still want to talk about it. Complaining tears down. God wants us to build each other up so we can move with a passion and a purpose to do the Lord's work. I'm not saying not be realistic, but it's amazing. Because you look at the Israelites, and I think we look down on them and we say, look at those Israelites complaining. They were just freed of slavery. They were being beat. They were being forced to do this labor for the Egyptians. How could they complain? They have physical freedom. You know what? God has granted us something far greater than physical freedom. Spiritual freedom. How could we complain? I believe the Bible says do all things without complaining and disputing. Certainly something for us to remember. We want to build up. Our words can be very powerful. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. We can build people up with positivity, but we can tear people down with negativity. We can tear the church down with negativity if we're not careful. It happened to the children of Israel. They couldn't make it to Mount Sinai without complaining. They couldn't make it to the promised land without complaining. In fact, you can make it a major argument that complaining was one major reason that the Israelites didn't make it into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb would say, yeah, we can do this. We can do this. With God's help, we can do this. We're not saying that it might be the easiest thing, but with God on our side, with God on our side, we can accomplish this. We can do this. You know what they said? No. They're too big. They're too strong. They've got these fortified cities. Joshua and Caleb, we can't do that. They create a whole mutiny against Moses. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're going to edify this year, if we're going to exhort each other this year, we've got to do it through teaching and focusing on God's Word and focusing on those things that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 focuses on. We can be realistic. We can bring up things that we think we need to be worked on. But we need to think about, how can I build people up this year? How can I build people up? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, no, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know what? How could I lift somebody up this year? Could I write them a card? I think I could. You think you could? Write a card, say, hey, so-and-so, you know, I've been really encouraged by you teaching Bible class, or so-and-so, I've been really encouraged by, yeah, you could write a card. There's nothing holding you back from writing a card that's encouraging, that's out of nowhere, and just say, you know what, thank you for what you've done. You think that would help build up the body of Christ? Perhaps a phone call. Perhaps teaching a Bible class. How can I be better at edification this year? Shaneyville will grow as a congregation when we grow as individuals. When we say, I want to be the best version that I can be. When Kyle says, I want to be the best preacher I can be. When we look at ourselves and say, I want to be the best deacon I can be. I want to be the best deacon's wife I can be. I want to be the best elder I can be. I want to be the best elder's wife I can be. I want to be the best Christian I can be. Shaneyville will flourish. And God will bless us when we pursue the best version of ourselves, pursuing Jesus Christ. How can I be better at evangelism this year? There's certainly many things that we could do. What can I do better in terms of edification, teaching, and trying to build people up in the faith? How can I be better at benevolence this year? Benevolence is a disposition to do good or kindness or really any kind act. Now, many times when we think about benevolence, we immediately associate it with money. And I'm not saying money isn't part of benevolence. I think it is. But I want to think about it a little bit deeper. Certainly, benevolence, what could I do good this year with the physical blessings that God has blessed me with? Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, and he gives him a warning to those that are rich. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, it says, command those who are rich in your present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Listen to good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. There's a caution there for individuals that are rich. So God gives you things richly to enjoy. We can enjoy the things of life, but it says that let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. It also gives the idea that we shouldn't trust in ourselves, but we should trust in God. Now you might be sitting here and you say, I'm not rich. And that's possible. But I can tell you, the odds are in your favor. If you're here today and you're in the United States, you would be considered rich by the world. I looked up some stats. And you gotta be careful with stats, but this is just what I found. Is that if you took everybody in the world and you just said, I am going to map everybody by net worth. Net worth. You know, take your assets and your liabilities, you know, do the subtraction, see what you have. You would be in the top 1% if you have a $900,000 net worth. And you might go, hey, I'm not in that category. I'm not in the top 1%. I don't know where you are, you know. You drop down to 10%. It's a net worth worldwide of $95,000. Now, I don't know, but some people probably are getting pretty close to that if you have a house and a car. I'm talking about a newer car and a house. You might be creeping in on the top 10% of the world. Top 1% is a $900,000 net worth. We do the top 10%, it's $95,000. But I think most of us here are pretty close to this one, 50%. You're in the top 50% of the world if you have a 5,000 net worth. 5,000. Now, you do got to subtract your debt out of that. I know a lot of people have issues with debt. Something that I think Christians should think about. I think we should try to fight against debt as much as we can. I'm not saying that we can be perfect in that respect, but it's something to think about. Something to think about, certainly. Could I be better at benevolence this year? Could I be better at giving this year? This question for me. I have to think on these things as well. Can I be better at benevolence? But a lot of times we just think financially. And I think we should. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It's certainly something that should be on our minds, is that God has blessed me physically. How could I possibly bless others? If I see somebody in need, if I see a brother in need, how can I hold back and say that the love of God is in me? I think in Matthew chapter 25, we've got the judgment scene. In Matthew chapter 25, there's these people that are being judged there, and we have a separation that's occurring, and then we have a description of why these people are being separated. In verse 35, it says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You know, when you read that, you start to realize that some of these things are connected to money, but some of these things are connected to time. And I want you to think about your benevolence in that respect. Is that a lot of people think benevolent, doing something good, I'm going to do something good with money. That's fantastic. It really is. But there are other ways we can do good besides our material wealth and prosperity and the things that we have. We can give our time and we can give our talent. In fact, I want you to think about the Good Samaritan just for a moment. The Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We have the Good Samaritan. This guy is on the road and he's all tore up and you know, he's in a bad spot. And people start walking by this individual. And the Good Samaritan, he starts walking up. And you know what? Here's just a description of some of the things he did. He saw him. He bandaged his wounds. He put him on his animal. He took him to the inn. He took care of him. The next day, he gave the person 2 denarii. And then he said, whatever else is needed, I will pay it. When you look at the Good Samaritan, I see all three. The Good Samaritan gave his time, the Good Samaritan gave his money, and the Good Samaritan, when he gave his time, he gave his money, he also gave him his talent. It said he tried to dress his wounds. It says that he took him to the inn, and it looks like he took care of him for that day. He doesn't let somebody else, I think, take care of him until he steps out of the picture the next day and says, hey, here's 2 denarii. Hey, whatever else is needed. But the Good Samaritan, he did all three. He utilized his time. He gave his time. He gave his talent, and he also gave materially. And I think that's something that we need to think about when we think about our benevolence this year. Where have I given time to somebody else? Where have I given my talent to someone else? Where have I given my money to someone else? It's something to think about. Can we be better this year? Certainly I think we can, David. And I want you to think about the Lord's church, because really that's what we're talking about, is being a better Christian, being a better servant of the Lord, bringing glory to the Lord. I want to be better at evangelism this year for the Lord. I want to be better at edification this year for the Lord. I want to be better at benevolence this year for the Lord. Where do you give your time to the church? Where do you give your talent to the church? Where do you give your money to the church? It's something for us to think about. In Matthew chapter 5, right before that judgment scene, I don't think it's a coincidence. Right before the judgment scene, there's the parable of the talent. There's an individual and he's going off to another land and he starts distributing his talents to his servant and he says, hey, I'm going to come back. And he does come back and then he starts doing an investigation on the servant to see what happened with the talents that he left them, which the talents in that case are his money. But God has left us with physical talents. Do we utilize those for God? Because there will be an accounting of our talents. And I don't think we're going to be able to pull the wool over God's eyes and say, no, I didn't have that talent. God says, I know what I gave you. That's one thing that does keep me up at night. God saying, I know what I gave you. You can't fool me, Kyle. Kyle, you could give up preaching tomorrow. You could go hide in the hills. You could go get a cabin somewhere. You could, you know, you could kick it up. You could have a fire. You could hunt. You could do that. I could do that. But I still got to answer to God. Kyle, I know what I gave you. Why did you hide it? Why did you put that away where no one could see it, where it can't be used for God? You know, God has given us so much. The question is, will we give back? Will we give back this year? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have a story of these people that are very generous. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it talks about these people, and Paul says they gave beyond their ability. And you work your way down to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, he says the reason, really, why they could do that. He says, because they first gave themselves to God. How are these people given beyond their ability? Paul says, because they first gave themselves to God, so they gave themselves to us. Become a tool of the Lord this year. Become a tool of the Lord. Be better at your evangelism. Be better with edification. Be better with your benevolence. And I think these are things that we could all write goals in these three areas and say, this is how I'm going to do better at evangelism. I'm going to try to invite 12 people this year. I think we could do that. I'm going to be trying to be better at edification this year. I'm going to be better at coming to services. I'm going to be better at singing out. I'm going to be better at maybe teaching Bible class or maybe writing an encouraging card to someone. I'm going to try to be better at benevolence this year. I'm going to try to be better at giving of my physical means, my time, my talents. I'm going to try to do better. Perhaps we need to write these things down. Can we do more for Jesus this year? I think we certainly can. God gave us everything. And if God gave us everything, I think it gives us the question, is what do we give Him? What do we give back? We certainly will not be able to pay back. That's not what I'm saying. To certainly give God what really He's already given us. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can this morning. If you come as we stand and as we sing.